This is a presentation from Narara Valley Baptist Church, a church that's desperate for God and passionate for people.
Well, we're in the Gospel of John, the good news according to John. Been going through this and we're going to be just kind of in this gospel throughout this year. And we are up to chapter 3. If you've got a Bible or if you've got a phone with the Bible app on it, then I want you to open up to chapter 3. But before we get into chapter 3, chapter 2 was a really good chapter for Jesus. You know, he turned some water into wine. Epic. If I could be at any miracle, that's probably the one I would want to be at. And then he did the whole whip thing. You know, Lewis last week sort of spoke about Jesus going into the temple and making his whip. So quite a contrast there. First, he's like the life of the party, and then he's kind of killing the party a bit and shutting it down. And then right at the end of chapter 3, we read these words. Now, while he was in Jerusalem at the Passover festival, many people saw the signs he was performing and believed in his name. So he was doing all sorts of other kind of signs and miracles. Maybe we can assume he was healing people. He was doing the kind of things that Jesus does. So chapter 2, epic chapter for Jesus. And what I notice about chapter 2 is it's really in the crowd. Whether he's in the crowd at a wedding or whether he's in the crowd at the temple or at the Passover festival, he is amongst crowds of people doing things that are starting to develop a reputation. People like, who is this wine-turning, whip-making, you know, sort of Jesus? And at the beginning of chapter 3, Jesus is approached by one person at night. And to me, it's kind of this image of like just maybe a quiet evening, and this person who we're going to encounter in this story tonight really wants to find out who this Jesus is, this Jesus that has this reputation from what he's been doing in the crowds. And so this is kind of a one-on-one interaction. And we're going to hear it from Corey. Where's Corey? Come on up, my man.
Hi. Okay, so reading John chapter 3, verses 1 to 21, if anyone wants to know. Okay, so let's go. Now there was a Pharisee, a man named Nicodemus, who was a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the signs you are doing if God were not with him." Jesus replied, "Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again." "How can someone be born when they are old?" Nicodemus asked. "Surely they cannot enter a second time in their mother's womb to be born." Jesus answered, "Very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying, 'You must be born again.' The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it's come from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit." "How can this be?" Nicodemus asked. "You are Israel's teacher," said Jesus, "and do you not understand these things? Very truly I tell you, we speak of what we know and we testify to what we have seen, but still you people do not accept our testimony. I've spoken to you of earthly things and you do not believe. How then will you believe if I speak of heavenly things? No one has ever gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven, the Son of Man. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes may have eternal life in him. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of God, God's one and only Son. This is the verdict: light has come into the world, but people love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that their deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that it may be seen plainly that what they have done has been done in sight of God."
Corey, so good. Always good to outsource the long readings. But a lot in there, right? It's quite a conversation between Nicodemus and Jesus. Corey did ask me before, he's like, how do you pronounce this name? And I was like, you could just say Nicky, but he nailed it, Nicodemus. So, but we could call him Nicky or Nicky D or Demas. I kind of like that because it sort of rhymes with Jesus. It's like Demas and Jesus just hanging out, having a chat, you know, poet into that sort of thing. But there's a lot there, but I'd love to just get a quick sample of the room. If anyone wants to share, did anything stand out to you? You know, sometimes you hear a long passage read like that and you kind of drift a few times. Were there any phrases or any ideas that kind of bubbled above that grabbed your ears, maybe because they're super familiar or maybe because, you know, they just, for whatever reason, it sounded sort of weird. What grabbed your attention? Verse 16 is familiar. John 3:16. I've never heard it before. What is it? Anybody heard that verse before? Pretty familiar. My friend over here. Same one. Yeah. Were you going to say something else? No problem. Sorry, I felt like there, maybe I saw a flinch or something. Maybe it was a stay away from me. And then any other phrases stand out in this interaction, Vince? Yes. Yeah, so there's this Old Testament story. The Israelites are sort of in the desert and not doing the right thing. God sends some snakes and, it's less than ideal, a bunch of snakes around. But then basically Moses' staff becomes a bronze snake and it's kind of look at that snake and you'll be saved from the other snakes, which is obviously a parallel with Jesus on the cross. We're not going to go too deep into that tonight, but it's a really interesting part of the conversation. Well, let's just talk a little bit about Nicky for a moment, about Nicky D. What do we know about this guy? It says, so he came to Jesus at night, and we've read that he is a Pharisee, a member of the Jewish ruling council. Now, because we're not Jewish, we skip over this kind of stuff because we're not in first century kind of Israel. We're not as familiar with what these things mean. But a couple of interesting things I notice. So one, he's a Pharisee. Now, generally, we see Pharisees out in public trying to get Jesus to like say something that'll kind of trap him. And yet here we have a Pharisee who seems like he actually really wants to learn from Jesus. And it's quite a contrast to how I normally think about the Pharisees in the Gospels and kind of the role they play in the Gospels. Now, being a member of the Jewish ruling council means he was a part of something called the Sanhedrin. And the Sanhedrin was 70 Jewish men who basically had jurisdiction over every Jew on the earth. Like, they were the ones who like really kind of said what was what when it came to the God stuff. So basically, our boy Nicky D, he is an expert in God stuff. He's like one of like the main group of people that know this stuff, that have immersed their life in sort of who God is and what he is like. And I kind of think about it sort of like if Qui-Gon Jinn was going to speak to Yoda. That's kind of what this conversation is like, or like maybe you're not so much a Star Wars fan, like maybe it's like, I don't know, Professor McGonagall is going to chat to Dumbledore. I'm not really a Harry Potter fan, so I don't know if that is sort of, does that work? Are they two very wise people or? Yeah. Yeah? What? Who else? Who else is like, you know, super wise? Like who would go and speak to Gandalf? Well, bit of a jerk, to be honest. What about the guy at Rivendell? What's the elf? Elrond. So this whole interaction is like two wise teachers. And it's like they're kind of like two, like, you know, they're different. But as far as in the public goes, Nicodemus is like, you know, he's a bit of a Jedi master. He's a bit of a wizard. He is someone who's in the know with this stuff. But the really interesting thing is he comes to this young rabbi and actually says, Rabbi, and he says, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God. So rather than being arrogant, rather than being like, I'm Yoda, I'm the one who's really in the know, Nicodemus comes and he says, you know what? Are you guys dissing Yoda? Or oh, very good. Very good. Nicodemus actually goes, you know what? Even as an expert in God stuff, there's something I can learn from Jesus. There's something about this Jesus that is different to anything I have ever seen before in my life. And I want to know what's up. What's up with this guy turning water into wine and coming into the temple with such authority and performing signs at the Passover festival? Jesus is making waves. And somebody who's an expert in God stuff goes, I want to learn from this teacher. So he comes in humility. And that in itself, we could preach a whole sermon about that. No matter how much of an expert you think you are in God stuff, no matter how many Sundays you spend in church, no matter how much you think you know the Bible, when it comes to Jesus, we come in humility. And we come and say, Rabbi, teach us who you really are. And I think that's kind of the experience that Nicodemus has in this conversation. So imagine two great teachers at night meeting, you know, Qui-Gon Jinn and Yoda or whoever you want to put it. Anyway, in this conversation, there are a few mic drop moments. And basically, Nicodemus says to Jesus, you know, we know that you're a teacher who comes from God. No one could perform the signs you're doing if God were not with him. And then Jesus says this thing that immediately when Jesus says this, Nicodemus would be leaning forward going, I want to hear what you have to say. Because he says, very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God. As soon as he says kingdom of God, he's talking about the main game. When he talks about the kingdom of God, like that is the goal. Where is the kingdom of God? What is the kingdom of God? What does it look like? How do I find it? How do I become a part of it? At that point, Nicodemus is like, what's he going to say next? And Jesus says, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again. Are we familiar with this phrase, born again? It's not really used that much these days, I don't think, in circles that I move in. But if we were to go back, I think, to my parents' generation or Craig's generation or, you know, there is a difference there. You know, my parents could, you know, they could probably be Craig's parents. So, you know, just he's a youngin. He's a youngin. But not that long ago. Well, I was just trying to do you a favor. So you take it how you want. Anyway, if we were to go back a while, this was like a pretty in term. And people would say, are you a born again Christian? Are you a born again Christian? And particularly in the States, you know, maybe you've watched American movies where they use this language, you born again. And it's kind of like this just marker of are you in or out. We don't really use it that much. So maybe we don't have the same issues. But I think some people started to feel like that phrase just became something that was so easy to identify with that it kind of lost the power that it's talking about. You know, born again Christian kind of just meant that maybe once you put your hand up at something at a church and suddenly you're a born again Christian. But Jesus is getting at something pretty radical. This is a mic drop moment. And it's a mic drop moment for two reasons. When he says, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again, the first sort of mic drop thing that Jesus is saying is you're not just in the kingdom of God because you were born in the right tribe. You're not just in the kingdom of God because you were born going to church. You're not just in the kingdom of God, or you don't just, you know God because you were born with the right credentials on your birth certificate. And that was a big deal. In this culture, you know, the Israelites, the people of God, God's chosen people, basically, if that was on your birth certificate, if you're not a Gentile, then you're sweet, was kind of the vibe. And Jesus says, you know what? Actually, that's not really what it's about. Does that make sense? So just because you've been going to church all your life, or just because you're part of God's chosen people by association, doesn't mean that you're in. So that's the first thing where Nicodemus would be going, whoa, okay. What are you going to say next? And Nicodemus then asks, how can someone be born when they are old? And it's kind of this ridiculous image, right? He even then says, surely they cannot enter a second time into their mother's womb to be born. That's an awkward thing to think about. You know, just imagine for a moment trying to, you know, reverse entry. And particularly when you're old, I don't want to think about that. And you got to wonder, it should make you laugh. Because Nicodemus is not honestly saying that that's what somebody needs to do. He's just trying to say to Jesus, you are saying something that sounds so far out there. Can I point out how ridiculous it sounds? But it's not just ridiculous because it's kind of like seems physically ridiculous. Here's what he's really saying. Here's what I think Nicodemus is really asking. When someone has, you know, become old, they're pretty set in their ways. The older we get, the more habits we form, the harder it is to change. Me and Benj were having this conversation about habits, and I don't know about you, but I just feel like so much of who I am was almost out of my control. came from the house that I grew up in, came from the views that my parents had, came from the culture, you know, like there's so much of who I am that is white, middle-class, Australian male, and I didn't have any choice about that. How could I be anything different to what I am? And the older that we get, it's sort of like the more set in our ways we get, it's like the more kind of we just, you know, the concrete begins to dry and we just become who we are. And it can feel like, could I ever change? Does that make sense? And I think that's what Nicodemus is saying. How can somebody who is old change when they have already by that point in their life been shaped so much? Maybe he's asking even for himself. I've always thought about God a certain way. I've spent my life memorizing whole books of the Bible. I'm an expert in this stuff, but I kind of am pretty set in my rhythm, in my way of life. How could I become new? How could I crawl back into the womb and be born again? And this is the second mic drop thing that Jesus is saying. The first thing he's saying is, you aren't just born into it. But the second thing he's saying is, your fundamental identity can be changed. Jesus says it is possible to be born again. No matter what house you grew up in, no matter what habits you form, no matter who you are now that seems almost impossible to change, Jesus is saying, you know what? People can be born again into a different kingdom. Doesn't matter what was written on their birth certificate. Doesn't matter what postcode they grew up in. Doesn't matter what bad habits they've formed. People can become a new creation. That makes me want to lean forward and go, how? How can I become new? How can I access this new life? I got a lot of baggage by this point in my life. How can I be made new? And this is the question Nicodemus asks, how? It seems impossible. And what does Jesus say? Very truly, I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at me saying you must be born again. The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit. And at this point, you're like, Jesus, just stop speaking like Yoda and just tell it to me straight, you know? No one can be born again unless they are born of water and the Spirit. Oh, well, that's as clear as mud, right? What is he saying? How do we be born of water and the Spirit? What's Jesus saying here? Well, these two things are super significant and particularly together, right? So water. When Jesus says being born of water, what's that about, you might be wondering? That's about, basically that's about this idea of repentance, this idea of changing your mind, this idea of saying, you know what, the way I've been living hasn't been working, and I need God's forgiveness, I need God's changing of who I am, and I need to be cleaned, basically. That's the idea of water. There's an image in the Bible that's, you know, really puts flesh on this, and it's baptism. When people get baptized, they go into the water and they identify with, you know, basically just as Jesus did. When I go into the water, I am saying goodbye to my old life. And when I come out of the water, I identify with Jesus in his resurrection. I'm coming into new life. But that begins with this idea of repentance. Now, if the word repentance freaks you out, either because it sounds like just full of guilt and it sounds like unpleasant, or if it freaks you out because you're like, it just sounds super Christianese and you don't really know what it means. Basically, this idea of repentance is just about a turning from the old way and turning to the new way. Means to change your mind, and it basically just means to go, the way that I've been doing things hasn't been working, to be honest. I've hurt enough people, I've done enough things that I know that I am not okay with. I need to turn. I need to be born again of water. I need to put to death some stuff so that I can be resurrected into something else. And so, really practical way that we can do that in this day and age. If you've made that decision, if you say, I wanna change my way, I wanna follow Jesus, I'm sick of following my own way, then one way that we express that is through baptism. And I've gotta be really clear, it's not like you go into the water and suddenly the water is magic and you change, but the water is a way of declaring publicly, doing something physical that shows something that's happened inside, that shows that that rebirth through God beginning to clean your heart is what's happening. But spirit, what's spirit about? Well, the second thing Jesus is getting at here is the being born of water. It's almost like that's something that you do at the beginning where you say, I want to turn around, I want to follow Jesus. But the spirit part is about this ongoing renewal, this ongoing being transformed. It's like you get born again into a new kingdom and then God continues to make you new by his spirit. And it's really important because we need God's spirit every single day, every single moment to be made new. It is his partnership with us that regenerates us. So Jesus is saying the way to enter the kingdom of God is to turn from your way, turn to my way, be born of water, be cleaned by God's forgiveness, and then walk in step with the Spirit. Be made new. Have your whole identity, your habits, your way of viewing everything, the way you think about how you vote, the way you think about how you spend your money, the way you approach your friendships, the way you approach school, university, whatever, it all begins to change as you are born of the Spirit. Does that make sense? So that's what Jesus is saying. Now, Nicodemus thought he knew what God was like, I reckon. He was humble, but he was also kind of a God expert. He was also part of this crew, the Sanhedrin. And he thought he knew what God was like, but Jesus painted a radical new picture of what God is like. And that verse that a few of us spoke about before, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. I don't think Nicodemus had ever heard anything like that before. I don't think Nicodemus's mental image of God was of a God of love who would give himself to save the world. I think his view of God was probably a little bit more, you know, maybe angry and a little bit more kind of, you know, just for a few people and a little bit more demanding in terms of Nicodemus's religious effort. And yet, Jesus totally presented a new picture of what God is like. This God who comes to save the world. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn it, but to save the world through him. And I want to ask you tonight to take a moment to think about, what is your picture of God like? What kind of God are you an expert in? When you think about what God is like, is he kind of demanding more of you? Is God someone who just, you can never do enough for this God? God someone who demands more religiosity, more of going through the motions, more ticks on the box? I want to invite you, the same way that Nicodemus had this experience, to have your view of God shifted into this God of love, this God who calls us into the light and loves us in the light, loves us when God can see what we are fully like, and this God that can help us to have our fundamental identity shifted to be born again of water and of spirit. I believe that this conversation would have opened Nicodemus's eyes in new ways. And he actually pops up in the gospel again a couple times. And I believe that he experienced this new birth, this new identity in Jesus. And I want to tell you tonight that that's available to each of us, that there is actually hope for change. You know, it's kind of it's like a fundamental human question. Can we change? I think it's pretty hard, but I believe that in Jesus, we can experience a new identity, a new life, a new kingdom. And so I want to ask you tonight, really practically, I think there's a couple of different ways to respond to this, but they're pretty practical and clear. I want to ask you first, have you been born of water? Have you said, the way that I've tried to live my life so far, you know, it actually isn't working. I want to change my mind. I want to change my way. I want to experience God's water washing over me. I want to experience his grace. Have you experienced that? Have you been born again of water? And a second question, have you been baptized? If that process has happened in your heart, or if it's happening in your heart, have you actually shown that in this amazing public act of baptism? We got baptisms coming up in a couple of weeks, but I want to ask you tonight, is God sort of putting something on your heart about being baptized, about showing that you're reborn in this kind of way, born of water? But it's not just about that. It's not about a one-time thing you did in the past. Maybe you've done that. Maybe you've been baptized. Maybe you have repented. Maybe you have turned from your way to God's way. But is it a part of your everyday life? Are you born of the Spirit? Are you Spirit-led? Is God making His kingdom come within you? And that is a question that I think we need to ask ourselves all the time. You know, I believe God's Spirit is at work, but I also believe I need to be the one saying yes, 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 today and tomorrow and the day after. Yes, God, I want to be reborn of your Spirit. Tonight, as we have some time in worship, I just want you to think, you know, what's the next step for you? Is it praying a prayer of kind of, you know, turning around, of saying, God, I want to turn from my way to your way? Is it being baptized in a couple weeks and there's this real opportunity before us to do that thing? Or is it, you know, do you want someone to pray with you about being born of the Spirit, about God changing your rhythm, about changing, you know, your habits, about changing what your life looks like every day of the week? And I want to, you know, I'll tell you that I'll be here and Bernie's here and Lewis is here and Craig's here. If you want one of the pastors to pray for you, then come and hit us up for prayer. But also, like I said at the beginning, we're a community of learners, of followers, of people trying to figure this out. And if there's a next step for you, I want to encourage you to pray with somebody around you. Ask somebody that you know, somebody who maybe you came with, somebody who's a friend, hey, would you pray for me about this being born of the Spirit stuff? Or would you pray for me about this being born of water? You don't have to crawl back into your mum's womb, but there is new life available, which is pretty good. So as the band leads us in worship, I want to encourage you, sing, worship, praise God if that has been your experience. But let's also pray for each other, or come forward, ask a pastor for prayer, or someone sitting next to you if you need to. And what's that next step? Have you been born of water? Have you been born of Spirit? Are you experiencing the new life available in Jesus? Let me pray for us and let's stand together. Father, thank you for this conversation that we read about between someone who was like a God expert, someone who knew so much of this stuff, but at the same time, maybe didn't really know it at all. And maybe that's some of us. Maybe we know this stuff really well. Maybe we know these stories. We're familiar with this language. We know John 3:16. But God, for any of us who maybe know it, but our picture of you is not actually true, I pray, God, that you would reshape us, that you would invite us into new life, and that we would have the courage to step into that. God, whatever our next step is, you know it for each of us. You know what the next thing is that's going to help us grow. So whether that's getting baptized, whether that's seeking prayer, whether that's asking for your Spirit to come and fill our lives again, to come and walk with us more closely, whatever it is, God, I pray you would put it into our hearts, that you would speak it into this room, and that we would have the courage to hear what you're saying and to do what we need to do about it. In Jesus' name, amen.
This has been a presentation from Narara Valley Baptist Church, a church that's desperate for God and passionate for people. To continue the conversation, we invite you to join us Sundays at 9:30 a.m. and 5 p.m. or on our website at www.nvbc.info.